This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk a little bit about the blessed month of Ramadan. Inshallah, waiting for more people to show up so that we can... this will take us not until Maghrib, but inshallah ta'ala, maybe just for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so. Just to have that spirit, inshallah ta'ala, of Ramadan, and getting to know more about this blessed month of Ramadan. We're going to talk about some secrets about Ramadan, as to why we fast, what are the blessings, what are the merits, and then I will have a question at the very end, something about those whose fasting will not be accepted from. There are people who are fasting, or they fasted last year and the year before, and maybe 10 years of fasting, 10 years of salah, but nothing has been accepted from them. Why? Inshallah, later on we'll talk about that. So, first and foremost, once more, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. Maybe this is as it is brand new, maybe not a lot of people have heard that we are meeting here today, but this will be, inshallah ta'ala, as every weekend, we will have iftar at this masjid, and then before iftar, we will have this short gathering, inshallah ta'ala. I would like to say Eid Mubarak Sa'id. You will say, no, Sheikh, Ramadan Mubarak, no, Eid Mubarak. Why I'm saying Eid Mubarak? For this particular reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. This is the key about Ramadan. It comes and goes. It comes and goes, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Ayyaman ma'dudat," very specific number of days or time. Before you know it, Ramadan goes. It comes, and we're so excited that Ramadan is here, and before you know it, it's gone. So this is why I'm saying, Eid Mubarak, mark my words, just like tomorrow, it will be Eid. Where is Ramadan? Gone. This is the case of Ramadan. It's a guest, beloved guest to all of us, but Subhanallah, the beauty about this guest is that it comes and goes so fast. So this is why we should try to take advantage of these ayyam and ma'dudat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, siyam has been prescribed upon you as it has been prescribed from people before you, which means that not only Muslims, not only the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, Nuh, he ordered his people for to fast. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa, Isa, Zakaria, Yahya, all the prophets before us or before, they have commanded their people to fast. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Siyam has been prescribed upon you as it has been prescribed from people before you. Kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given us the key as to why we're fasting. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I have candies, but I think you're fasting today, aren't you? You guys are fasting today? I normally have my candies, so when I ask a question and you answer the question, I throw something at you. So I can throw the candy at you, but don't eat it now. You eat it later on, inshallah ta'ala. So... one of the key reasons as to why we fast. Some people say, like, even at school, at work, some people, they ask that question, why do you Muslims fast? We fast because, why do we fast? Because Allah told us to. This is the foremost answer, because Allah told us to fast. I pray because Allah told me to pray. So there's something missing there. When you say, I fast because Allah told me to fast, we pray because Allah. So you're just doing it because of a fear of Allah, because Allah told me, But once you actually understand the purpose, the reason as to why we really need to fast, then you will do it with love, not only for fear, but with love. Love in what you do. Some people say, "Akhi, I can't wait for Ramadan to leave. I can't wait to break my fast. I can't wait." Naam. But once you really truly understand as to why we fast, then it will change the whole thing, inshallah ta'ala. This month is a blessed month. This month is really a month of khairat, month of good, month of blessings, month of barakat. Lots of barakat. this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from all the other months, how many months do we have in Islam? How many?
12.
Exactly. Just like the solar calendar, we have a lunar calendar, and we have, you know, do you know all these months? What are some of the months that you know of other than Ramadan? Dhul Hijjah. What comes after Ramadan?
Shawwal.
Ramadan comes, what's after? MashaAllah alayk. Ramadan, then after Ramadan comes Shawwal, huh? And after Shawwal comes what? Before Hajj comes another month, right? Before Hajj comes? I need to give you something because you're... Can you give me my jacket? Are you fasting today? Okay, good. So I give you something, but don't eat it now, okay? Eat it later. Here we go. After Ramadan, we have Shawwal. And after Shawwal, we have Dhul Qa'dah. And after Dhul Qa'dah, we have Dhul Hijjah, the month of fast, you know, the month of Hajj. So all these months, none of these months are mentioned in the Quran except Ramadan. شهر رمضان Allah mentions it by name. So when Allah mentions something by name in the Quran, it's for its significance. And also, in this month, all the scriptures, all the books, all the divine books were revealed in Ramadan. Not only Quran, Torah, Injil, which is the Bible, the Suhuf Ibrahim, the scrolls of Ibrahim, Az-Zabur, all the divine scriptures were also revealed in this month of Ramadan. Not only Ramadan, or not only the Quran. And also, my brothers and sisters, another merit of this blessed month, it is the month of As-Siyam. It is the month of fasting. And this is why we need to talk about, you know, fasting. It is the month of As-Siyam. It is the month of the Quran. It is the month of Al-Khairat, of Al-Barakat. In fact, this particular month, all the gates of Jannah are open. You know how many gates do we have in Jannah? Jannah has gates. Al-Jahannam has gates. Jahannam has gates and Jannah has gates. How many gates do we have in Jannah? MashaAllah. You're so smart. Are you married? No? Oh, mashallah. He's smart. Mashallah. Yes, eight. And how many gates do we have in hellfire? There are gates in Jannah, there are gates in hellfire. In Jannah, there are eight. In Jahannam, we have seven. So there's more gates in Jannah because Allah wants you to enter Jannah more than He wants you to enter hellfire. But these gates of Jannah are wide open now in Ramadan. And the gates of hellfire are locked down in Ramadan. So that means it's easier for us to do good deeds. It's easier for us to pray. It's easier for us to wake up and pray Fajr. Even those who did not pray Fajr before Ramadan, now they're waking up to pray Fajr. Now they come in actually to the masjid to pray Fajr. Why? Because the ta'at becomes easy, subhanAllah, in the month of Ramadan. It is a month of blessing. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, with regard to fasting, this is a beautiful hadith. Bukhari and Muslim, they narrate, or they report that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, من صام يوما في سبيل الله باعد الله بينه وبين النار مسيرة سبعين خريفا. Whosoever fast one day في سبيل الله. Imagine if you were to fast, the Prophet didn't say Ramadan, he just says whosoever fast one day for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distance between him and hellfire, will prevent him from entering hellfire, the distance of 70 years. 70 years. If you were to only fast one day, imagine fasting the whole month of Ramadan. If you're to fast only one day, and the merit and the ajal that you get, the reward is to be saved from hellfire. The distance, by the way, Prophet Muhammad was sitting one day with the Sahaba. With, you know who are the Sahaba? What do we call Sahaba in English? Companions of the Prophet, right? Of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, his friends. We call them in Arabic Sahaba, or in, you know, if one is Sahabi, plural is Sahaba. So, and then they heard a drop. They heard something drop, like, they heard something drop. And then the Prophet asked them, did you hear this sound? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we heard this sound. He said, this is a rock that's been falling for 70 years. Today, it just has reached the bottom of hellfire. Imagine something that's been falling and falling and falling. Not for, how long does it take to drop something from the roof there, you know, to the, just maybe a few seconds. So imagine something has been dropping and falling and falling and falling for 70 years. And then it has reached the bottom of hellfire. That's the depth of hellfire. The gates of hellfire will be locked and the gates of Jannah are open in Ramadan. So Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام says, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whosoever fasts Ramadan believing in Allah and seeking the reward from whom? Seeking the reward from
Allah.
From everybody. From Allah. Who's going to reward you for fasting? Allah. So the Prophet says, "Whosoever fasts, you know, iman wa ihtisaban, believing in Allah and seeking the reward from him, all his sins shall be forgiven." The Prophet Muhammad also says, whosoever qam, whosoever, you know, prays in Ramadan, qiyam, you know, when we do taraweeh, when we do qiyam al-layl, the Prophet says, whosoever does qiyam in Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufra lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih, all his sins shall be forgiven. This is only for this particular month of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, if they are listening, Allah creates and selects. Did you know that? Allah, he creates and he favors. Allah created, for instance, the heavens, and then he favored the highest heaven, al-Firdaws al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies, and then he favored the seventh sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels, and from the angels, there's so many angels. But Allah favored, you know, Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind, and from all mankind Allah azza wa jal favored the prophets and the messengers, and from the prophets and messengers Allah favored five, what we call ulul azm. Ulul azm five. Do you know these five? Who these five are? These five prophets that Allah favored. You know how many prophets altogether? 124,000 prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored ulul azm. Tilka rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. Those are the prophets we favored some over others. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad. These are ulul azm that Allah Azza wa Jalla has favored amongst all the other prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created months, days, years. But amongst the days and months and years, what month did Allah favor?
Ramadan.
Ramadan. And within Ramadan, Allah still favored some nights in Ramadan. He favored the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And within the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there's one night which Allah has favored. You know it. What is it called? Laylatul Qadr. Do you see how Allah creates and He favors? He creates and He selects. You know, Ramadan is the most beloved. Within Ramadan, the last 10 nights are the most beloved. Within the last 10 nights, there's one night which is called the night of the power. Allah creates and He selects. Allah created mountains, and from all the mountains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the month of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He created masajid and mosque, and Allah azza wa jal favored Mecca. Allah favored Medina. Allah creates and He selects. So this is the most beloved month in the oh, Allah created days and nights. In nights, Allah favored the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Within days, Allah favored the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah creates and He selects. So this is something about how Allah Azza wa Jalla favors things. Just to explain to you a little bit the merits of this blessed month of Ramadan. We don't want to waste our time in this month of Ramadan. You know what Abu Hurairah, have you heard of this man, Abu Hurairah, the Sahabi? No, he's a companion of the Prophet. He's the one who narrated the majority of the hadith, Abu Hurairah. And Abu Hurairah, my brothers and sisters, in Ramadan, he used to, and his friends, they used to spend time at the masjid. They used to spend a lot of time at the masjid. So he was asked, why do you spend more time in the masjid in Ramadan? He says, حَتَّى أَحْفَظَ صِيَامِي. He says, to protect my fasting. To protect my fasting. Abu Hurairah lived at a time when there is no fitna like we have here today. If Abu Hurairah was to come here today, he would live in the masjid. At that time, you know, he used to come in Ramadan and spend a lot of time at the masjid. Why? Because he says, I want to protect my fasting. I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to look at anything haram. I don't want to, you know. So if he was to come here today, what would he do? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa ta'ala. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? He would stay in the mosque all the time. I would think so as well. So we need to protect this month, because I don't know if I'm going to make it until Ramadan 2023. Nobody knows. Nobody can guarantee that I'm going to live until 2023. So if I was to know that this is my last Ramadan, I'm going to make sure that I will take advantage of every moment of it. I'm not saying spend all the time at the masjid. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying come to the masjid from Fajr until Isha and then go home to sleep and then come. I'm not saying that. All I'm trying to tell you here is take advantage of these ayyam ma'dudat, as Allah calls it in the Quran. Very specific number of days. Try to do as much as you can. And today, inshallah, I will share with you a proactive program that should help you maximize your time in Ramadan. What shall I do from the time I wake up until the time I sleep? A proactive, like a plan, a program, that to maximize your Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. There is a secret in this blessed month, or in fact, treasures. There's so many treasures. We fast because Ramadan fasting helps us to control our desires. When they ask you at school as to why you fast, you can tell them, you can answer such as, we fast because it helps us control ourselves. It helps us control our desires and whims. Let's say here's, I'm thirsty. Aren't you thirsty? You guys not thirsty, just me? I'm thirsty. I work out. Do you work out in Ramadan, you guys? I work. You were like, oh, you're my man. We work out. So I'm thirsty now. But here's water. Drink. I cannot drink. Why? My desire, my whims, I want to drink, but I cannot drink. What time is Maghrib? Maghrib is at 7:50, right? You come to me at 7:49. Even you, 7:49, they say, here, drink. You say, no, I can't. Why? It's you're thirsty. Yeah, no, drink. He says, no. Why not? It's 7:50. He says, it's okay, 7:49. It's all right, 7:48 is okay. You drink, eat. No, 7:50. Why? Because Allah said so. You control. Those of you who are married, you married or happy? Married or, you see my question? Are you married or happy? You said married. No, that was a tricky question. Are you married or happy? He said, I'm married. And now because his wife, she's listening, he says, I'm happily married, because he knows he wants to go back home and sleep happily after, and he wants to wake up and yes. So you're smart. I know. Okay, good. So sometimes, your spouse is next to you and you feel like you want to be intimate with your spouse. I'm trying to choose my words. But you're fasting. You have that need, but you can't do it. Why? Because you're fasting. Fasting teaches you that control. We tend to, I want this, let's grab this. I want that, grab this. I want, the thief, he wants to steal this. We don't care. But what makes us different? Not only as Muslims, what makes us different? This month teaches us to control yourselves and desires. Why we fast? One reason is, learn to control yourself and your desire. Brothers and sisters, we fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Do you know that? Allah loves us. As-siyamu li wa ana ajzi bih. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Hadith Qudusi, Siyam is mine and I reward for it. Salah is for Allah. Hajj is for Allah. But Allah didn't say that about Hajj and Siyam. He says, Siyamu li, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Fasting is for me and I reward for it. My slave has left, his drinking and eating for my sake. I shall reward him for it. How much Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you. He knows that you're here. And he knows that you're leaving all the shahawat, all the things that you want, to do and whatnot. But you came to the masjid and you're hungry. But you are abstaining from food and drinks and intimacy until the day or the time he orders, for you to break your fast. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's uhib, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you. This is why we fast. We fast because, brothers and sisters, fasting is a protection. Non-Muslims don't understand. You know that even non-Muslims now, they have clinics in Germany and many places. You know, they have clinics called fasting clinics. A fasting clinic. You don't have to be a Muslim. They teach people to fast. It's a process of cleansing. It's a process of detoxing. SubhanAllah. They come back, and then when you tell them, we Muslims, we fast from this time until this time. Oh, really? Yeah. Why? It is not because to starve ourselves. Some people say, well, to feel what the poor people are feeling. You know, yeah, okay, to feel what the poor people are feeling. But also there's more profound meaning as to why we fast. Fasting, that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, junna, is a protection, is wiqaya. It's a protection from the punishment of Allah. It's a protection from, you know, when somebody, you're not married, are you? And you know, when you, for young people, when the Prophet says, you know, those of you who cannot get married, so he tells them what to do. He says, fast. Fasting will help you control that urge that you have. Are you married? Not you. So when you, and your father, is that your dad? You know, you told him, I want to get married. He says, no, you're only going to marry your cousin Fatima or cousin Fatima, right? He gives you two options. Your cousin, it's the same lady, right, by the way. It's the same one. But his father is playing games with him. You either marry your cousin Fatima or Fatima. The same one. Who we're going to bring from Pakistan. Is that true? We're going to ship her. I'm just joking. When you have that urge, that thing that will extinguish that urge is fasting. Help yourself. Protect yourself from the, not only the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, but from even, you know, the evils of yourselves. Siyamu Jannah. As-siyam is another opportunity for you to, for your du'a to be accepted. Then the Prophet says the du'a of the fasting is accepted. You're all fasting. This is the best time to make du'a, when you're fasting. I'm only trying to tell you as the merits of fasting and why we are trying to fast. Because at the very end, I'm going to tell you about those whose fasting will not be accepted. And that is dangerous. And you and I, we need to do something about it. There are certain people who've been fasting, but their fasting has not been accepted. Who are these people? We're going to talk about them, inshallah ta'ala. As-siyam, brothers and sisters, takfir lil-dhunub. It's a process of effacing and eliminating and forgiving the sins. Who says Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, hadith which is in Bukhari, as-salawatul khams. The Prophet says the five daily prayers. Wa Ramadan ila Ramadan and Ramadan to Ramadan. Kafarat lima bainahuma. Takfir al-dunub is an expiation to your sins. You know, you pray, the Prophet Muhammad says in a very beautiful hadith, he says, you burn and burn in committing sins. Tahtariquna tahtariqun, you burn and burn. And then fa'ida sallaytumul fajra ghasalatha. And then when you pray fajr, it will wash off all the sins which you have committed. And then you burn and burn again, burning, committing sins. There's so many sins. Sins burn you. And then when you pray dhuhr, it will wipe up those sins. And then you burn and burn again, committing sins. And then when you pray asr, it will wipe up those sins. And then you burn and burn. And then when you pray maghrib, it will wipe up those sins. And then you burn and burn. And then when you burn and burn, committing sins. And then when you pray isha, ghasalatha, it will wipe out all your sins. And then the Prophet says, thumma tanamun. And then you sleep. Thumma tanamun. Fala yuktabu alaykum shay'un hatta tastayqidu. Nothing will be written upon until you wake up. So you go to sleep clean from all the sins. So prayers, the five daily prayers, and Ramadan to Ramadan are also kafara lidhunub, is an expiation to your sins. This is why we need to fast. This is why we love Ramadan. Even those who don't practice, they love Ramadan. Even Muslims who don't practice, even those who don't fast, they're happy in Ramadan. In our countries, I don't know about Pakistan and India or, you know, but in Arab countries, in Ramadan, nighttime, it's like a nightlife, like, you know, especially at night after Maghrib. I don't know, is it the same in your countries as well? The cafe shops and, you know, even in Saudi Arabia, people sleep during the day and they wake up during the night. Everything is up until Fajr time, until, you know, and that's when people go back to sleep. But, you know, SubhanAllah, this is that spirit. We call it the spirit of Ramadan. It's a beautiful spirit. But it's nice when you combine it with praying and fasting, of course, and coming to the masjid. That other taste, that other spirit, you know, this is the spirit of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, one more thing about Ramadan or Siyam. Siyam will intercede on your behalf. Do you understand what that means? Siyam, fasting, will give shafa'a to you. Will make shafa'a to you on the Day of Judgment. You know what that means? I'll tell you what it means. On the Day of Judgment, the wrongdoers will be thrown in hellfire. And some of the believers, some of the Muslims, because of their wrongdoings, may be thrown in hellfire. May be thrown in hellfire. Siyam will come. Fasting will come. And Quran will come. Two things will come. Fasting and Quran. Fasting will say, Ay Rabbi, O my Lord, لقد منعته الطعام والشهوات في النهار فشفعني فيه. O my Lord, I have prevented him from eating and from indulging in shahawat, in desires. O Allah, make me intercede on his behalf. Let me make shafa'a to him. And Quran will say, O my Lord, I have prevented him from sleeping at night, for he used to wake up and pray and read Quran at night. So the Quran will come also and say, O Allah, shafi'ni fi, O my Lord, intercede on my behalf. Both of them fasting and Al-Quran will intercede on your behalf to enter the Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala. Imagine, this is why you need to fast. So who can share with me? I've mentioned at least four or five key points here as to why we fast. Why should we fast? Why we love Ramadan? Why we love fasting? Why is fasting is so important? I mentioned about four or five. Give me one point. Yes, give me one point. Because Allah loves us and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we fast? I mentioned them all. It's all gone. Control your whims and desires. It teaches us to control our whims and desires. Na'am, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. La, I'm not supposed to do this. No, I cannot do this. I'm fasting. So it's not my soul or my desires that are in control of me. La, I'm in control of my desires. That's number two.
When we fast.
Yes. Yes, I didn't even mention that. You know that? You're so smart. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. I'll give you candy. But don't eat. Are you fasting today? Yeah, maybe. Yes, you are fasting, MashaAllah. How old are you? 15? Are you 15? 16? 17?
Eight.
How old are you? You're 8?
No. I'm in 9 in Arabic class. 9 in grade.
Good, but what Arabic class? You said 9.
No, in Arabic calendar.
Oh, the Arabic calendar. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. You're only 8? You look like you're 16. MashaAllah, here it is. MashaAllah. How old are you? 8. 8. You're not married, are you?
No.
And you? You're not married either, right? Okay. Good people, good people, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. May Allah protect you and bless you and bless your parents who brought you to the masjid and who are, mashallah, disciplining you with this akhlaq, good morals, mashallah. She's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet, the breath of the fasting is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, is really beloved to Allah, the smell of the fasting person. You know, and the Prophet Muhammad, when he says that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Lisa'imi farhatan," the one who's fasting has two happy moments. The first happy moment is when he breaks his fast, and the second happy moment is when you see the face of Allah, when you meet your Lord, and that is the utmost happiness, more than entering Jannah. Once you see the face of Allah, that is the utmost pleasure and satisfaction in Jannah, is to be able to see the face of Allah. And you know, there's some people who will be able to see the face of Allah twice a day, and there's some people who see the face of Allah only once a day. You, inshallah, you'll be able to see the face of Allah every day, twice a day, inshallah ta'ala. Siyam will say, I said also, Siyam will intercede on our behalf. Remember that? Siyam will intercede on our behalf on the Day of Judgment. Siyam eliminates or expiates our sins, you know, just so you understand some of the merits, some of the virtues of fasting, brothers and sisters. How about if we work on a barnamaj to maximize our fasting, a program, a daily program, so that I want to be proactive. I don't want you to say, oh, zakla khair, nice talk, and then we move on. I want to work on a daily program to maximize our fasting, inshallah ta'ala, and some of the things that we need to be doing or to ought to be doing in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. First and foremost, let's start from the very beginning. Let's start from when we wake up in the morning. By the way, here's a question. I'm going to start a new series in this masjid, inshallah ta'ala, after Ramadan. I call it Walking with the Prophet. It's not just seerah, it's seerah and beyond, something you've never seen before, because I know. I call it Walking with the Prophet. I take the Prophet Muhammad from the time he wakes up until the time he goes back to bed. It's a series. We're going to start that. What is the first thing Prophet Muhammad does when he wakes up in the morning?
At suhoor.
Not in Ramadan. I'll give this to you just because I love you. Just because you're handsome. Here, take this. Here, mashallah. What is the first thing the Prophet... La anta mumkin, you heard me before. You heard me, not you. This is a true question, huh? This is a serious question. A lot of people don't know. What does Prophet Muhammad do when he wakes up? The very first thing he does when he wakes up. Yes. The dua, he does his dua. He says, Alhamdulillah, ladhi hayna ba'da ma amatu li nushur. Before he does dua, what does he do? The sisters, I don't know if you can hear. I don't know if you're... I would love you to participate with us. This is what I had in 2003 when I had my program here at the masjid. You know, I remember the last program I had at this masjid was the names of Allah and how to live with the names of Allah. And we had sisters joining us. So we want the sisters also to participate, inshallah ta'ala. What is the first thing Prophet Muhammad does? Thank Allah, alhamdulillah. Before he thanks Allah, what does he do, alayhi salatu wasalam? Before he thanks Allah, he makes wudu before making wudu. A glass of water, cold glass, how he drinks it? No. Before he drinks that glass of water, yes. Yes. He wakes up. How he wakes up? That's a good one. You must be... He wakes up. Okay, he's awake now. What does he do after he wakes up? The first thing Prophet Muhammad does after he wakes up. Can I tell you? Would you like me to tell you? Yes or yes?
No.
I said yes or yes? All right. The first thing he does, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wakes up, he rubs his eyes. That's what he does. Get rid of the sleep, of the tiredness. And then he says what you said. Alhamdulillah. Are you cold or just me? It's cold in here, huh? A little bit cold, huh? And then he says the dua. Alhamdulillah, ladhi hiyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. You know? And then what does he do after that? After he does this, and after he makes the dua, he does one thing. Before he makes wudu. Before suhoor. Siwak. He takes the miswak, and then he does the siwak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we're talking about Prophet Muhammad in Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad in Ramadan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he comes in, alayhi wa sallam, he goes, he makes his wudu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He changes his clothes, he removes his pijama, whatever he's wearing for, you know, to sleep with, and then he changes his clothes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And he may pray a few rak'at, depending if Aisha is awake or not. He goes and he prays a few rak'at as Qiyam al-Layl. We call this Qiyam al-Layl. And then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes for suhoor. He lets suhoor until the end. Why does he let suhoor until the end? He said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, akhir suhoor. You know, for suhoor, try to delay it as long as possible. As late as possible. But with iftar, try to expedite it as early as possible. Iftar, you know, says, once you hear the adhan, says, no, let me wait until the adhan is finished. Once you hear the adhan, you have to break your fast. This is the sunnah. But Prophet Muhammad, with the suhoor, he would delay it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his suhoor? What did he used to eat in suhoor?
Date?
We Muslims, we don't date. I'm sorry, no. Do we date Muslims? Dating is haram. He eats dates. Okay. I thought you said date. I said, no, date? We don't date. We Muslims eat dates, but we don't date. Okay. Yes, exactly. But what is, huh?
Cereal?
Cereal? It was cereal or the what do you call the chaat, that fruit chaat, you know, the fruit Pakistani chaat, you know, that would put spices in it, right? You know, that's bid'ah, akhi. Allah made something sweet and you people put spices in it. But I love it. I always say it's a bid'ah. It's a fruit and you put spices in it, yakhi. And I've never seen something like this before. And I call it bid'ah with all the respect. But I eat it. It's nice. It's different. No cornflakes, no cereal. He used to eat milk or dates or anything. But today, you know, can I just be sufficed myself with date and water? Yeah, that's what the Prophet used to eat, inshallah. But it is something, if it's known in your culture, to eat that food chaat or rice with chicken or bread, samosas or biryanis. Yahi, you know, I remember in this masjid, long time ago, in 2002, 2003. I had a program for the youth. And Zalamullah Khair, the youth, they used to come here, we used to have this program in Ramadan and other than Ramadan, but let's just talk about Ramadan. And then in Ramadan, they used to sleep here during the last 10 nights of Ramadan and stuff. And then what they used to feed us? Biryani. Biryani for suhoor, biryani for iftar, biryani. One of the youth came to me and said, Sheikh, I dreamt yesterday eating biryani. In my dream, I ate biryani. It's too much biryani, biryani. But if that's the norm, if that's the culture in your culture, be it. If that's what you eat. So you try to delay suhoor until the end. All right. So you eat your suhoor. And then what do you do after that, inshallah ta'ala? After your suhoor, head to the masjid. Make wudu at home. And then head to the masjid. Why should you make wudu at home before coming to the masjid? Why? Why is it better to make wudu at home before coming to the masjid? Look what he said. You see, the youth, the youngsters, the kids, they speak the truth. He says, because the washrooms at home are cleaner. Yeah, and what he's saying, the washrooms in the masjids are dirty. You see, this is how it is. He's speaking the truth. No, the washrooms in this masjid, alhamdulillah, I use them twice. And I can assert that they are, mashallah, clean, cleaner than many other places I've seen. But you're right, yeah, because the washrooms at home, they're clean. You know, they're clean. No. Why would you make wudu at home before coming to the masjid? It's sunnah, but because some people cannot keep their wudu, I understand. But it's always better to make your wudu at home and come to the masjid. For the main reason is, for every step you make towards the masjid, Allah will give you one hasanah. Allah will erase one sin and Allah will elevate you one rank in Jannah. Those who make wudu at home and walk towards the masjid or come towards the masjid. I always say that. I will never come out from home without wudu. This is me. Never. Even if not going to the masjid. I will always try to keep my wudu, you know, at times. It is also something that wards off jinn and shayateen from you. Maybe one day, inshallah, we'll have a talk about this world of jinn. Keeping your wudu at all times, it is something that wards off the shayateen and jinn, keeps them away from you. So you come, you make your wudu, you come to the masjid. Don't come to the masjid when, you know, when the adhan is being made. La, come to the masjid earlier, before the adhan. Why? Masjids are open now, alhamdulillah. Everybody can come to the masjid. You should come to the masjid early. Why? For many reasons. You will get to pray a couple of rak'at before you are in the masjid. You will get to hear the adhan and repeat after the muadhin. Here's another ajr, another reward. You will get to pray the sunnah of fajr. And the Prophet says, sunnah al-fajr khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. The sunnah of fajr, the two rak'ah that we pray before, you know, the fajr. It is better than the entire world and whatever it contains. So much so that for the Hanafi madhab, that sunnah, it is considered as wajib for them. It's considered as wajib, but it is sunnah muakkada. The two rak'at of Fajr. And then another beauty, you get some time to maybe read some Quran. Quran al-Fajr. Inna Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. Quran al-Fajr is witnessed. So all these beauties, all these virtues, all these merits, because you came in early, versus somebody coming in late, rushing, and by the time he comes in, maybe the imam is already almost done, or maybe la, until you are early, so you are taking advantage of all these beautiful, you know, alhamdulillah rewards, and in Ramadan on top of that. So you do that, and then you will have also some time to make dua. Why? Because dua between adhan and iqama is accepted. You hear the adhan. somebody came in late, he missed that opportunity. The Prophet says, the dua between Adhan and Iqamah, so if you're here now, and then you're going to hear, inshallah, Adhan and Maghrib, you still have some time, you can break your fast, and then before the Iqamah, make dua. Because that dua is accepted. Dua between Adhan and Iqamah. So imagine all this, and then you get to pray, and then you get to witness Takbirat al-Ihram. I don't have time. Takbirat al-Ihram. I can just talk one full lecture about what's Takbirat al-Ihram. When the Imam says Allahu Akbar, you're behind him. It's so important. In Hadith, which is in Bukhari, those who attend the Takbirat al-Ihram, it's witnessed. Angels are there. Allah Azza wa Jalla is witnessing all this. Don't miss Takbirat al-Ihram. One pious man, he says to his kids when he was dying, they were crying, dad, he says, don't cry for me. Alhamdulillah, I have not missed Takbirat al-Ihram for 40 years. The only thing I saw, he says, in the back of the back of the imam. So much so, the back of the imam, which means he was not praying in the second or third or fourth row. He prayed in the first row. He says, the only thing I saw was the imam, the back of the imam, and I never missed the Takbirat al-Ihram for 40 years. So he says, don't cry, don't be sad. So you come in and you pray Fajr. I'm giving you a program, a daily schedule. You pray Fajr with the Imam. And then you sit. And then you make your dua, your istighfar, your dhikr. Don't just, if you have time, sit in the masjid and make your adhkar. If you don't have time, you have to rush to work, be it. But if you don't have to rush to work, sit in the masjid and make your adhkar. Why? Because there are special angels making dua for you as you're sitting. Allahumma aghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamah, Allahumma aghfir lahu, oh Allah forgive him, Allah have mercy upon him. The more you're sitting, the more these special angels are making dua for you. Brothers, when somebody's going for Hajj or Umrah, what do you ask him or her? Dua, right? There are special angels making dua for you when you're sitting after salah. Allahumma aghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamahu, oh Allah forgive him or her, oh Allah have mercy upon him or her. So you sit. If you have time, sit until sunrise. And then maybe in about 15, 20 minutes after sunrise, you pray that other amazing, beautiful salah, which is called Salatu al-Duha or Shuruq, Salat al-Duha, Salat al-Awwabin. You know how many joints do we have in our body? You know joints? These are joints. You know how many joints we have? 360 joints. The Prophet says in Hadith, every day you have to pay sadaqah for every joint you have, which means every day you have to pay $360, the least, for every joint you have. The Sahaba says, Ya Rasulullah, how can we? Then the Prophet says, every tasbih is sadaqah, every tahmid is sadaqah, and you say, Subhanallah is sadaqah, Allahu Akbar sadaqah, La ilaha illallah sadaqah, Alhamdulillah sadaqah, Astaghfirullah sadaqah, a smile in the face of your brother is sadaqah. Remove that mask. Show me that smile. Aywa. A smile in the face of your brother is sadaqah? He doesn't want a smile. A smile in the face of your brother is charity. Give me some charity. Are you giving me charity? And the Prophet says, do you want me to tell you something that will equate all this? He says, turaka ad-duha. Turaka ad-duha will be equivalent to all this. So turaka that you pray after, you know, maybe if you go home, you don't have time here, okay, or you go to work around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you can take some break, you know, and pray turaka duha, or 4 raka, or 6 raka duha. So that, khalas, then you went back to work, let's say you went home, and we're just talking about your schedule, daily schedule. Take that time, you know, to break, to make your duha. And then dhuhr comes, because you're fasting. So you're going to pray your dhuhr. Make your wudu, pray your dhuhr. And then comes the time, you know, you go back to work, do whatever you need to do. You know, some people, maybe they want to go and take care of their needs or whatnot. Maybe they have some shopping or whatnot. Comes asr. Okay, when it comes asr, make your wudu, and then you pray your asr. Most like at the masjid. And then now you need to start preparing for maghrib. Did you read your Quran? You have to do your Quran. You have to do your sabak. It's very important to do that sabak. You know, as we call it in Urdu, the sabak. That, right? Try to complete the recitation of the Quran, the least, if you are fluent in Arabic, at least twice or three times this month of Ramadan. If you're not as fluent, try to complete the recitation of the Quran at least once if you can. The least, for those of you who are not really fluent or they're having difficulties, read at least one page of the Quran. Do not let one day go without you having that connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Quran. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? Why? Because this is the mother of the Quran. Bring your family and make that dua before breaking your fast. Because dua, as you're breaking your fast, for the fasting, is granted. Have some dates with you, if I were you. Have some dates with you. And then whenever you're breaking your fast, try to feed other people. Why? Try to tell them, please take this date and break your fast with it. Why? To get the ajr of those people breaking their fast. If you can. I'm trying to, again, maximize your ibadat. Then if you're at the masjid, great. If you're not at the masjid, you're praying at home, you break your fast. And there is a dua that you should say before breaking your fast. What is that dua? A lot of people make mistakes here. What is the dua of breaking the fast? When shall I say that dua? After you eat. Before you eat, you say Bismillah, and then you eat, break your fast. You break your fast with what? With a date and some water, like the Prophet Muhammad used to do. Or that flute chat, or whatever you like, you can understand. But then the dua should be said after you break your fast. Allahumma dhahab al-dhamma, abtalit al-uruq, wa thabat al-ajla, insha'Allah. You know, and the dua that you mentioned as well. But you say that after you break your fast. Now that you broke your fast, you can go back and then, you know, you do your Salat al-Maghrib. And then after Salat al-Maghrib, you sit down, you know, and you, of course you do your, take your dinner and whatnot, and get ready for Salat al-Isha in the masjid. Get ready for Salat al-Isha. I'm almost done. 1 minute, 2 minutes, inshallah, ta'ala, be done. Get ready for Salat al-Isha. Where are you going to pray Salat al-Isha? At home? Where? At the masjid. You're here already. So you pray at the masjid alone. You bring in who? Try to bring your family with you. All together, we're going to go and pray in the masjid, inshaAllah ta'ala. You come in, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. As you're driving, as you're walking, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. I'm going towards the masjid. I come to the masjid. I enter the masjid with what foot?
Right foot.
The right foot. What do I say? Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma. Yalla, teach me. What shall I say? Allahumma, ghfir li dhunubi waftah li abwab rahmatik. So you entered with dua. Don't forget this. You may say, oh, these are little things. No, they're not little things. Anything you could do in Ramadan to maximize your ibadat, your ta'at, your hasanat. Everything is multiplied. And brothers and sisters, as you come through that door, I think on the left or the right, you tell me. On the left of the door or the right of the door, there are boxes of donation boxes. Where are they? On the right side. As you enter, if I were you, every day in Ramadan, maybe $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 every day in Ramadan. You don't, Sheikh, no, I know. No, I know. I'm going to wait until the night of 27th and do that, inshallah ta'ala. No. Yahi, number one, do you know you're going to make it until the night of 27th? That's number one. Number two, Ramadan, every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be saving people from hellfire every night. You don't know what's going to be accepted from you. So don't waste an opportunity. Like I said, a dollar or two, but just every day, and let your children see you that you're giving donation. And ask them to put money in the box as well. Teach your children to give sadaqah, to give charity. Because this is the month of charity. This is the month of sadaqah. Prophet Muhammad used to be so generous. But in Ramadan, extra generous. It is the month of ta'at. You come and you pray Isha. And after the Isha, you pray Taraweeh. And after Taraweeh, what do you do? You're going to go back home. Tayyib, you go back home. What are you going to do once you go back home? Let's have some fun. What are you going to do after you go back home? Phone? Oh, there's a cricket game, India-Pakistan, playing. I cannot miss that game, huh? Soccer game. What? La, ya Sheikh. When you go back home, try to, what are you going to do? After Taraweeh, we go to sleep. Of course you go to sleep, my friend. Of course you go to sleep. If you want to drink like Prophet Muhammad before he used to sleep, maybe he would take something hot, like hot milk, hot leban. You know, we call it leban. You may call it goat milk or whatnot, something hot, and then it will help you in your sleep, inshallah ta'ala. Before you sleep, make your wudu and pray to rak'ah. Pray Talakah, you forgot about that. And then what should you recite? I mentioned that yesterday before you go to sleep. Ayatul Kursi. Remember that? Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep. And then you make that dua before sleeping, the dua of sleeping. And then you sleep with what intention? It's very important. What intention do you sleep with?
To wake up to pray
Fajr. To wake up to pray Qiyam. Because you need to make that intention that you're fasting. So the intention is in the heart. That I'm going to be fasting tomorrow. So you go with the intention, you sleep with the intention to wake up for Qiyam al-Layl, insha'Allah ta'ala. This is a schedule or a program that should help you, insha'Allah ta'ala, to maximize your ibadat in Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. If you have somebody you have not spoken to for a long time, you have any grudges towards someone, pick up the phone, wish them Ramadan Mubarak. Talk to your parents. If you have not spoken to your parents, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you have not spoken to your brothers or sisters, you have not spoken to your uncles, your aunties, what are you going to wait for? Eid? Try to mend the hearts, insha'Allah ta'ala, in Ramadan. Salat al-Rahim. Give sadaqah, as I mentioned, qira'at al-Qur'an. Recitation of the Qur'an. I'm going quickly now. Recitation of the Qur'an. Rudd al-Madalim. Anybody that you have wronged, ask them to forgive you in this blessed month of Ramadan. Dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't, you know, always keep your tongue moistened with the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. For every subhanallah you say, what happens to you? When you say subhanallah, what does Allah do for you? Allah plants a tree for you in Jannah. For Alhamdulillah, Allah plants a tree for you in Jannah. Allahu Akbar, Allah plants a tree. So keep on planting trees in Jannah versus backbiting and backstabbing. Plant some trees in Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. And try to do iftar al-sa'im if you can. I'm done. Try, inshaAllah ta'ala, if you have an opportunity to feed someone to break their fast in home or the masjid or whatnot, try, inshaAllah ta'ala, to do that, because there's so much reward in making someone break their fast, inshaAllah ta'ala. Duha. We will end with dua. You can make their own dua. People can make their own dua.
You can use seven movements for the question and answers.
Sure. System. Bismillah. We're going to make dua at the end before Maghrib. Before Maghrib is at 7:50, I believe, according to the calendar there. Do you have any questions about anything I spoke about here so far? If not, I will ask you questions. Aywa. Ramadan is a month, just like Sha'ban. Like you said, Shawwal is the month, like January, February. So Ramadan is the name that Allah Azza wa Jalla chose to name that month of fasting is. Any other questions, inshallah ta'ala, about what I've spoken about so far? Or maybe I did not talk about fiqhi matters pertinent to fasting. I only mentioned about the niyyah of fasting. Some people say, should I make niyyah every night? Or should one have one niyyah be sufficient for the entire month of Ramadan? According to Maliki Madhab, from Morocco, from Tunisia, from Algeria, they adopt the Maliki Madhab. They say that one intention should be sufficient, according to them. But according to the majority, like al-Hanaf, al-Shafi'iyya, and then the al-Hanabila and others, you have to have an intention per night, per fasting per day. This is different than the intention for, let's say, supererogatory voluntary fasting. Voluntary fasting, you can make that fasting, that niyyah, even at the time, even before you break, before, let's say, you woke up in the morning and I don't have nothing to eat. Okay, I'm gonna, I'm intending to fast. And then you move on. But with siyam, with Ramadan, the niyyah has to happen at night, before Fajr, and you have to make that niyyah to fast. But the niyyah is, shall I utter it? Shall I utter the words? I make my intention to fast tomorrow, Monday. No, the ulama says that niyyah belongs in the heart. The niyyah resides in the heart. The fact that you woke up for tahajjud, the fact that you woke up for suhoor, what does that mean? You woke up for suhoor because you are planning to fast. So your niyyah is built in automatically, inshaAllah ta'ala. Any questions? You spoke to me earlier. Why do we fast? Jazakum Allah khair, barakallah feekum. Those of you who are on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, it's been a while, but I'm back. Why do we fast? I just mentioned so many things. Why do we fast? Taqwa. And what's taqwa?
It's in the heart.
Taqwa is in the heart. Taqwa ha huna. Taqwa, to build Allah's consciousness. But why do we fast? Somebody told me, because Allah told us to. Allah told me to fast. Is this why we fast? Why do we fast? I mentioned a lot of things today about why we fast. Naam? To control yourself, absolutely, to control yourself. Fasting, what else? To get rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal. What else? Fasting, does fasting expiate our sins? Fasting expiates kafar dunub, takfir dunub? Yes, fasting expiates our sins. What does fasting do to us on the Day of Judgment? I will end with this. What does fasting do to us at the end of the Day of Judgment? In the Day of Judgment. I heard it. On the Day of Judgment, fasting comes and says, oh Allah, and then it does something. What does it do? Shafa'ah. Intercession. Shafa'ah. Fasting will intercede on our behalf. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to give you some time maybe to, if you want to renew your wudu. Let's end quickly with a very short dua. Subhanakallahu hamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا القوة المتين يا رحم الضعفاء والمساكين يا أحد يا صمد يا الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. نسألك اللهم بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى ونسألك بإسمك الأعظم الذي إذا سئلت به أجبت. أن تقبل صيامنا وطاعتنا، اللهم تقبل صيامنا وطاعتنا، اللهم تقبل صيامنا وطاعتنا، اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذات القوة المتين يا رحم الضعفاء والمساكين، اجعلنا ممن يغفر لهم ذنوبهم في هذا الشهر المبارك، اللهم اجعلنا ممن يقوم هذا الشهر إيمانا واحتسابا، واجعلنا ممن سوف يصومه إيمانا واحتسابا، اللهم يا رب تقبل صيامنا وطاعتنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا، اللهم اعتقنا واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في هذا الشهر المبارك، اللهم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في هذا الشهر المبارك، والله we ask you by every name which we know, and we ask you by every name which we do not know. We ask you by your greatest name, Ismullah al-A'zam, by which if you are to be called, you shall give. We ask you to accept our fasting. We ask you to accept our fasting. We ask you to accept our ibadat in this month of Ramadan. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to increase us in health and wealth. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and we supplicate you, Arhamar Rahimeen, to make us amongst those whereby their souls are saved from hellfire in the nights of Ramadan. Ya Rabbi, save our souls from hellfire, our souls of our loved ones from hellfire, the souls of our parents, the souls of our children, the souls of our brothers and sisters, and the souls of our loved ones, inshallah ta'ala. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, makes us witness the night of the power. Makes us all witness the night, Laylatul Qadr, Ya Rabbil Alameen, in this blessed month. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ala Ibrahim, fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna, wa salamu ala mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I kept one last thing until next week. What is it? About those whose fasting will not be accepted. Those whose fasting will not be accepted, you do not want to miss that lecture. And that lecture is scheduled, inshallah ta'ala, next Saturday, bi-idhnillah. Yes, you need to know about that, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Salam.